Open your Bibles to Proverbs, the first chapter. And as we go through this in this class and the next one or two, you're going to see that the reason that we chose to have this in this auditorium class is because it's designed primarily for young people. And so that'll take care of all of us and get us started on the right path. Now, look at Proverbs chapter 1. We've done some things in preliminary things to give us a background. Read with me the first 6 verses. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Purpose of the book. Purpose of the collection of the proverbs are pointed out in 4 steps here. First, to know, to attain, to get wisdom and instruction. Second, to perceive, and that means to discern something, to not just to get it, but to grasp the meaning of it, the words of understanding. Then the writer says, to receive, and this has the emphasis of to acquire. Here's what you're going to get out of the Proverbs. First, instruction of wisdom. That means wise behavior, how to live a disciplined life, an orderly life. Second, to receive justice. And that's righteousness, the understanding of what is right and proper conduct. Judgment, the abilities to make decisions that are just, and equity, a conscience to deal with others in fairness. Now, all of those things are to come from the collection of proverbs that God has given to us. Then he says, to give. Now, note what we've had. To know, to perceive, to receive, and now to give. To give what? To give to the simple prudence, common sense for the immature and inexperienced. The word simple is used a number of times in the wisdom literature. It's used here in the Proverbs several times. It's used in Ecclesiastes. It's used in Song of Solomon. And when it talks about the simple, it doesn't really mean, you know, when I was a kid growing up and somebody didn't have all the brain cells working in the right way, we'd sometimes say he's simple-minded. And that was a derogatory statement that he's not capable in all of that. That's not the concept here. The simple are really talking about the naive. Now, who would you expect mostly to be naive? The young people, exactly. And the thrust of the Proverbs is going to focus on young people who are naive, who haven't had the experiences of life, and it's going to give guidance in for them at that time. So, the Proverbs are to give to the simple prudence or common sense. It's to give to young men knowledge and discretion. That's sound advice, guidance, so you know the right things that you ought to be doing. Now, some people are not simple. Some people are not young. Do the Proverbs have any value to them? Well, he says, to the wise men. That's not talking about the Solomons of the world. It's talking about people who have gained experience, who are no longer young and immature and undeveloped, therefore simple. But they've attained a certain amount of wisdom by experience, if nothing else. And Proverbs are going to give them increased learning. And then finally, to men of understanding, and that would be a similar group of them, wise counsel and guidance. Now, those are really the purposes that the Lord gives for the Proverbs and the collection of the Proverbs. And if you can see the focus, it's not simply a matter of here's what you have to do to go to heaven. The wisdom literature, now, don't misunderstand. The greatest thing that anybody can get is heaven. And if you miss that, like D. Bowman's old famous for saying, you've just missed it all. Jesus said it best, what's a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his life? But the Proverbs are not really pointed at, here's the way to go to church on Sunday. Or here's the way to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Or here's what you have to do to be saved eternally. The Proverbs are really giving direction to the young people of this age to help them have the kind of wisdom that others may get by experience, by aging, and having the problem usually of making enough mistakes that you learn the better way. So the Proverbs are a collection designed to help a person have wise life in this world. I like the expression in the book of Ecclesiastes, life under the sun. Life under the sun means life here. What we're going through in this world at this time, and God is giving us insights and guidance and direction for life now. Now, don't misunderstand. That's not in place of obeying the gospel and worshiping God in the proper way and going to heaven. Not in place of that. It's in addition to it. Along with that, God has given us all the guidance for our lives spiritually, and He is also giving us guidance and direction for everyday life, for common life under the sun. So the Proverbs say in verse 6 that this is designed to help you understand a proverb. Now remember, proverbs are short, pithy statements that have great truths contained in them, and that usually are put in a catchy way to understand a proverb and a figure, figures of speech, commonly used in every language. And finally, the words of the wise and their dark saying. Now let me ask you a question. Don't say the Bible. Don't say from God in answer to the question that I'm going to give you. Where do you get wisdom? Do you have in mind that wisdom is vested in only a few people? That it's hid somewhere in the closet? And that finding wisdom is, you know, like searching for diamonds, digging for gold. Drop down in chapter 1 to verse 20 and listen to the Lord. Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. Now this is wisdom personified. Wisdom is not a person. I don't have a good definition for what wisdom is to capture it all and put it on a platform up there. But if wisdom were a person, here's what that person would be doing. Here is what wisdom, or here how wisdom is pictured by the Lord. Verse 20 and following. Wisdom crieth aloud in the street. She uttereth her voice in the broad places. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, at the entrance of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words. Is she hidden in a corner somewhere? No. She's out in the most public place. Occasionally when we go downtown in Glasgow, Scotland, there's one place that we see that it's in almost like a big courtyard. And over at the side of that courtyard, there is a pedestal about twice as wide as this table and square. And it's probably 10 feet tall. Guess what that was for? Back in the very early days, that's where the king's messenger, or someone the equivalent of that, could come and get up on that thing and shout to the people, announce to the people. It was the public platform for the town crier. Picture wisdom in the most public place, at the crossroads of the city, at the gates of the city. Right where everybody is exposed to it, wisdom is crying her words out to the people. Read on. What does she say? Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long do you want to stay immature? How long do you want to stay untrained? And you scoffers, how long will you delight in scoffing? I modified that a little, put it in the parallel. And fools hate knowledge. How long are you going to go on with this? How long will the simple want to stay simple and not catch on? How long will the scoffers enjoy their scoffing? Remember we talked about the word scoffing when we drew the three parallels in from Psalm 1? And scoffing is that third quality of the guy who, throw it all aside. You can't touch me with any of that stuff. Not just talking about scoffing toward the religious direction of God, but this is scoffing toward wisdom. And he just can't be, you're not going to bother me with this stuff. And finally, fools hate knowledge. Wisdom is crying. She shouts from the most public place and asks, how long are you going to go on? Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man hath regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would, the equivalent of would have none of my reproof. What'll I do? Look at verse 26. I will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm and your calamity cometh on you as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Jehovah. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso heareth, hearkeneth unto me, shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Go back to verse 26. I will laugh in the day of your calamity. This is not picturing God. This is not talking about God laughing at people that fail. This is a description of wisdom personified. And wisdom says, I've stood in the public place. I've called to you. I've announced to you. I've begged you. I've showed you how to do it. And you wouldn't listen to it. And the day will come that you'll be in calamity. Then you'll cry out. But it's too late. This has nothing to do with, can a man repent at the last minute? It doesn't have anything to do with going to heaven. It's talking about a person who doesn't get, doesn't accept, doesn't follow wisdom in this world, and calamity comes on him. You ever see somebody on the side of the road and wonder, what could he have done? Have you ever sat with somebody who had destroyed himself with alcohol or drugs, or who had just abused his body terribly, and then says, why can't the doctors give me a pill and cure me? Doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not saying that people can't be restored. They can. But this is picturing life. This is picturing life in reality. And it's saying, don't be dumb. Don't be foolish. Wake up and listen to wisdom. Now let me ask you. Haven't we all been bombarded with wisdom from our earliest days? Let me just ask you. How many times have you been told, study hard? How many times have you been told, get exercise? How many times have you been told, eat the right kinds of things? How many times? We have been bombarded with good advice, good counsel, good guidance. And none of us has been without that. Now go back to the first part of chapter 1. We read that introductory thing through verse 6. Look at verse 7. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. The expression fear of Jehovah is used 14 times in this book. It's not talking about being scared of God. A better way to convey it for our thinking is respect. Respect for Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Do you remember in that strong passage in Romans 1 where God is going to catalog the sins of the Gentiles, and He gives a whole list of things, and we're not talking about violations of the spiritual law. We weren't talking about you didn't go to church on Sunday. It's talking about the condition of the Gentile world. And before he got into that long list, God made an observation through Paul. He made an observation as to why these people had digressed so far, had fallen so far into to their sin, and that God gave them up to a reprobate mind, he's going to say. I'm going to tell you what God said as a generalization as to why they had reached this stage. He said in Romans 1, the invisible things of Him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Now listen to it. Because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks. God summarized those people in that way. They glorified Him not as God. All I ask you to do in our society is look around. How much does our world appreciate God? Now, I've got lots of gray hair. And I've turned the page of the calendar a lot of times. And all of us old folks can fuss about the young folks. I know that. And I'm warned about it. But I'll tell you, the world today is dramatically different than the world was when I was a kid growing up. When I was a kid growing up, everybody went to church where I lived. Everybody had a respect for God. Everybody had an appreciation for God. Listen to the founding fathers in our country. And every document speaks it. Well, what happens today? We don't need him. Throw him out. Get rid of him. That's what happened to the world. They glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks. Now come back to Proverbs. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. I listened to a minute and a half talk by a statesman who made the point that where there is no respect for God, the world goes into oblivion. The fear of Jehovah means respect for God. That God's there and we've got a moral obligation. We've got to be decent to people. We've got to behave properly. All of those things come out of a proper respect for God. Read on. Verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. By the way, those chains do not mean something you put on to drag you around like an animal. A chaplet for your head. Like the crown that they gave to the victor. And chains around your neck. Ornaments. Beautiful necklace. Coming from your mother. And chaplet to your head from your father. What's he saying? Wisdom is here. Where are you going to get it? I'm going to tell you, that's first place. Is mom and dad. And there are rare exceptions to the idea that people got decent direction and guidance, and at least the words were there from mothers and fathers. Keep your finger here and turn over to chapter 9. Chapter 9 is going to be a passage that draws a wonderful conclusion to the things in these 9 chapters. Remember, we talked about what wisdom does, how it appeals to people, and how it speaks to us from the most public place. Look in chapter 9 at verse 7. He that correcteth a scoffer getteth to himself reviling. He that reproveth a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. Reprove not a scoffer, lest he hate thee. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, that's back to wisdom, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou art wise, thou art wise for thyself. If thou scoffest, thou alone shall bear it. Truth of the matter is, you may have influence on other people, but you'll reap what you sow, and the calamity will come. What's the wisdom literature designed to do? Wisdom, that root word, good guidance, direction. Look back at chapter 9. And I told you that chapter 9 is drawing a conclusion from the material in those first 9 chapters, which we're only going to summarize, by the way. We won't go in great detail through it. But look at chapter 9 and the first verse. Wisdom hath builded her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. It's going to make a picture of a beautiful house that belongs to wisdom, and it's built on 7 different pillars. And when you go through this book, you find 7. These words will occur over and over. Understanding, knowledge, prudence, shrewdness, instruction or learning, discretion, perception. Those are the things that God has built wisdom on. And those words occur over and over in the text. And God is saying, be smart, be wise, listen, and learn, and don't make the foolish mistakes of the world. Okay, we got to about 1/10 of what we were supposed to do tonight, which is usually typical of the things that we do. Let me tell you what we're going to be doing on Sunday morning. We're going to be looking at several cases that the Lord uses illustrating that wisdom is better than folly. Don't be foolish. And he'll give you some case histories. A case history of a young man being tempted to join a gang and run with the bunch and make gain illegally. He's going to say several things warning the young man about the strange woman. Strange woman means one that doesn't belong to you. The prostitute in this case. And warning about that. And he's going to throw in some things like, don't be a waster of your time and energy. Work hard, prepare for tomorrow, and be ready for it. We're going to touch on a bunch of those things on Sunday morning, showing here are the things God says that young people, older, need to know it. Older probably have already learned some of the lessons. But young people need to know, don't get trapped into this kind of life. Thank you for listening so kindly. I think I asked one question during the night, and I did get an answer on the thing. But thank you for being here and being a part with us.